I wrote a letter to Pat and Andrew and said, I can feel pretty certain you did not understand last night. I wrote this on Tuesday of last week. But since you're working on the story of your eternal self, both of them are, I'll restate last night very simply as follows. Instead of struggling to become what you believe you desire, declare and enliven who you are by giving yourself a past. And let that be your past eternally, such that how you live that declared past is no longer of concern, because you can live it with full awareness and realization of yourself any way you choose. But only if you are willing to make that one choice and declare your eternal past and be that and live your eternal past in any form and expression you desire. Now, the question is, can you see that, number one, your memories of the past, what you think is your past, was all made up? Everybody understands that?
Yeah.
In other words, you got bits and pieces of information that you remember, that you store here, and another bit over there, and etc. And if something issue comes up, you call up bits and pieces, put a story together, and call that your past of an incident or an event that you remembered. You didn't and do not remember an event as a whole. You store an event in bits and pieces, and then when you want that event to be recalled, you call up the bits and pieces and reassemble that into an event as you think you thought you might have automatically probably remembered. But it's all made up from the bits and pieces. And with that understanding, you can begin to see how bits and pieces of one event creep into bits and pieces of another event, such that as you remember the past, it ain't anything like anyone else who participated in that past remember it either. So the point is, in this regard, your past and anything you remember of your past, and I mean past of even a minute ago, is all made up.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been living that past as an experience of act and fact. Well, that's not really true. It's an assemblage of matters that you put together in some form and say that's what happened. The question is, if it's all made up anyway, why the hell don't you make up a past that you truly desire? Instead of trying to assemble something that sort of gave you an emotional jolt, and you're trying to make it up and recall it and put it back together again. Doesn't that sound a little dumb? If it's all made up anyway, and then you're struggling against your parents, your brother, your asshole sister, the events in your life, and the occurrences, and the person down the street, why the hell don't you just say, stop, wait, this is insane. Why don't I make up the past I truly desire and be that and live that? Which is what this sentence says. But only if you are willing to make that one choice, in other words, declare your past or make it up, and be that and live that. My question is, can you see that if you are being your past, whether you've made it up or not, or however you made it up, doesn't really matter. And if you're being that, there is no cause and effect in your life as far as yourself is concerned, and there is no becoming. Everybody understands that, right? Or not?
Yeah.
Somebody has to say something.
Yes.
Well, I'm not too sure. You say yes or you don't say anything, but I'm not too sure you agree. So somebody tell me how it is that if you make up your past and you live that, then there's no part of that that has anything to do with becoming or have anything to do with cause and effect, which is your nemesis in life.
And you laid out the conditions and that be that, therefore I am that. I don't have to become it or do anything to prove it. I am that.
So you could, no matter what you did, you couldn't even become that because you're already it.
Yes.
So, as far as yourself is concerned, knowing yourself, understanding yourself, and etc., there is no becoming in that at all. There can be nothing you could do to cause that, because that's who you already are.
Correct.
So, you could have cause and effect somehow in your life, but there would be no cause and effect in knowing, understanding, and realizing yourself, because that's who you already are.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas your life today has been a great deal of, who the hell are you? What are you doing here? What's this all about? And so you're going around through trial and error, constantly trying to find out who you are, and what you're doing, and what you and your life is all about. Maybe you care about life, what life itself is all about, maybe not. But I think you do care what the hell is your life all about. But you've never been advised, I don't suspect, that, gee whiz, why don't you just make it up and be that? Your problems and difficulties in life are, that's an important issue to you, and you don't know what to do to become who you think you want to become.
That's true.
And so me and I were talking about people with low self-esteem. If you really get down to discussing or talking to people with low self-esteem, you would find that they don't have low self-esteem. They have immense self-esteem. They sense it anyway. Their problem is they don't know how to express that, how to be that, how to do that, how to live that. If you really get down under what's going on with somebody of that nature. So the question is, maybe that's the aches and pains and problems and difficulties and etc. of everything in your life today. You're trying to find out who you are and what's it all about. Actually, what I've said before is, what is the most important thing you want in life? And as we've said before, gee, more time. In other words, no matter what it is, you don't want the absence of time, you want more of it. You want more time to figure out who you are, or learn your lessons, or gain your understandings, or be who you can be. Be all you can be. The army wants you. Well, maybe you want to be who you can be and not be in the army. But whatever the case may be, technically and actually, wait, I'm not ready yet. I haven't got my shit together. I don't know what this is all about. Give me more time to figure it out. What is the second thing you probably want more of in your life than anything else? Individuality. Supposing I gave you an eternal, let's assume that I have this power, Well, I'll assume that. What if I gave you all the time in the world? You could exist forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Except you don't have any identity. You can't know yourself. No one can know you. No one can admire you. You can't know anyone or anything else. What if you have all the time in the world? It doesn't mean anything unless you have identity. So, if I gave you eternal existence, immortal existence, without identity, would you take that? Would you choose that? And what if you can have mortal existence, essentially immortal or eternal existence, but you can only really have that in becoming alive by giving yourself a pass? Would you be willing to do that? Giving yourself a pass gives you identity. Because you know, and I know, and we all know that anything exists has a past. If it doesn't have a past, it doesn't exist. So for you to, and exist means be alive, be a part of, or of things going on in your life. So the question is, you want to be alive. To be alive means to have form, to have a nature, to have a past. You don't have a past, you ain't. Because anything that is has a past. All I'm saying is, damn, then why don't you give yourself a past as to who and what you are and live that and be that, and you never then have to get involved in your life in terms of, well, what do I do to create that? Well, that's said and done. What have I been talking about? Anybody want to? Because I started off saying for a while back that I was going to talk about resuscitation. I was going to talk about reading from several chapters of the book about my resuscitation experience and creating a past before this lifetime. And I was just going to take this whole pile of stuff I got here in front of me, put it up on the web, and say, there, if you want to understand that, go read it on the web. And then I got to say, because the problem was several fold. I give you all the details, and you say, yeah, but what's all the details about? If I give you the overall picture of resuscitation and creating your past for yourself, people keep coming back to me and in a sense destroy or deny what they're doing because the details don't fit. Okay, there I am. Which do I do first? Do I give you a picture of or an image, the story of what I went through 30 years ago, and what was this all about, and what I gained an understanding of, and without your having a foundation for understanding that story? Or do I go through the foundation of things without giving you, beyond what I'm talking about, an image or picture to relate to? What the hell do I do to get people involved? There's the dilemma I'm on as to where to proceed, how I want to proceed from here. And I have three different options on my desk in front of me. So whatever we decide, I can go any way we want to go.
I don't, so Raj, I was just, there's, like last week we got into a 2-hour discussion on the about creating the past and living always only in the past. I don't know if I said that correctly, but essentially that's what I took from it. And I was wondering if there was a way, instead of just doing one subject, is it possible to work them both together so we're seeing them side by side work together, or is that a little too arduous on the mind?
Well, the problem is we only got 2 hours a week, so I'm not too sure that I could do them parallel that way. Maybe if we were here at one of our gatherings and we had 9 hours, 12 hours a week, something like that, 12 hours a day, I mean, for 9 days, maybe we could do something like that. But no, that sounds good, but I don't think it's doable that way. It's got to be, we have to get on to doing one of these things and then say, okay, now if you've got that information, now you can take it over here and apply it. Because, like, for instance, your statement of living in the past, I never said that. I said living the past. There's a difference between saying living in the past and living the past.
Okay, right. Good point.
And so just little misunderstandings of that nature then throws off the awareness or the concept of what the overall picture or experience might be. I'll go either way because, you know, I figure that by the time we do this, there's going to be an endless struggle of this, that, and the other thing involved in it. So I'll go any way you want, or any questions you have, well, let's deal with them now, and let's then kind of decide how you want to proceed from here. I was going to put this stuff up on the web. Of course, Misty's been terribly busy, and she's behind in her typing because she had her performance. Now she's got another performance coming up. So it may be a while before some of this goes up on the web. Well, part of why I decided, well, maybe we should discuss it. But if the discussing, you know, 3 weeks ago, we had 12 or 15 people clicking on. Now we have 5 or 4 or whatever the hell we got. I don't know. But anyway, I'd rather go the way you ever want to go. Somebody say something.
I'll say something. The kind of image I have is that, particularly with you as an architect, sometimes I think you deliberately hide the building that you've designed, and you take us through the foundation and the wiring conduits, and I got nothing to apply it against. I'm learning bits and pieces of how a building is put together, and I don't understand at all how they link. But I know you tell us that it's all going to fit together in the building that you've designed. Okay. I think part of my problem is that I do get lost in the details sometimes, and I have just no concept of how they fit together to anything else.
Well, this is why Andrew works on his story with Anno, and you're working on your story. That how do I, and this is what I tried 3 years ago, how do I get you to really get involved in writing your own story so that then when the details comes up, it makes sense to you? My story makes sense to me, but my story is not really going to help you make sense to you beyond a certain point.
I would like right now. I would just like I don't care how long you make it, I would like some amount of discussion about suscitation, because it was really kind of like the thing that hooked me a while ago, so weeks ago, and I knew you were going to describe that or show how it plays out by telling your past. So we've gotten to, you know, looking at the framework of that a person is and your past and living the past, but we haven't talked about suscitation, and I'd like at least a general something about what that is, so I could start putting that together with what we're talking about. That would help me, because I'm constantly distracted by saying, is this presentation, or how does that... I'm waiting for that to show up.
Okay. Do you understand, as we've said before, that you are living a past that you already, or that you only made up? Does that make sense to you?
That to me makes sense of everything, yes.
In other words, you thought it was a real experience, and as some people who are sitting next to me say, you felt it in your bones.
Yeah, right. I mean, the whole of life has just been this story. At least what I think life is, has been this story that I've made up for
myself. But then 5 seconds afterwards, it's all made up.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you continue making it up over and over and over again. In fact, is what seems to be the stupid part of this, since in language the negative always governs, you're making up every past experience that you don't desire, and you're living that don't desire over and over and over again, which doesn't make any goddamn sense at all.
Right.
So all I'm getting at is, number one, if I say you are a spiritual being and a physical being, you say, yeah, I understand that. Okay, you don't, but you can say, yeah. Now, if I say you're what you call a spiritual being, or that religion has called a spiritual being, that you can't see, you can't know, it's unknowable, and in fact is, Jews went to the point of saying, take all the vowels out of God's name so you can't even pronounce his name. Do anything to keep spiritual so nebulous that you really don't know or can't know what that is. I say, well, now that's foolish. Let's give spiritual an identity. That's easy enough to do. Let's tell religion to go suck it. If it's there, the universe is not hiding it from you. And if you are a spiritual being, and a physical being, we know something about your physical being, but we know nothing about your spiritual being. Maybe that's incorrect. Maybe everything you say about spiritual, you should use the word eternal. You are an eternal being living in a physical presence. Well, okay, let's talk about your eternal being.
Wait, living in a physical what?
Presence.
Okay.
Episode or moment or time or whatever. Why play all this mystery, make life such an unknown mystery, and then we're struggling against the mystery we've created? Why don't we make it an exciting adventure and live out the exciting adventure we've created? We okay with this? Well, the issue was, as soon as you get involved in this, and from my experiences in the past, 40 years ago or so, is that this is true. You are both a spiritual, better known as an eternal being, and simultaneously which, by the way, that eternal being is physical. There is no spiritual as opposed to physical. You are a personal being and an eternal being, both of which are physical. There is no one is bigger, greater, other than the other one. The only difference is one you don't normally see. You could see, I see, it's possible to see, no problem there, but you talked yourself out of being able to see and know and understand those things which are normally unseen. Why? Well, because religion has said spiritual, that's unmanifested, so you can't see it. Oh, that's not true. Liar, liar, pants on fire. So, then it goes on, well, gee, if I am today the past that I have created, all the things I've done as an architect or as a homesteader or as a whatsteader or father, mother, whatever I might have been, if all of those things are me today, what about all the other aspects of me? What about the past before the past, before the memories? What about past before my birth? And you then know enough about the fact that I got into past lives. Well, wait a minute. What about the past before past lives? Past lives are just episodes doing the same old crap over and over and over again. I can tell you people that I've done readings for 10 or 15 years ago are living that life today with a different person and a different place and a different situation, but it's the same damn pattern over and over and over again. Well, wait a minute now. If you're really living the same pattern over and over again through past lives, whatever that is, why not make up or create the past you truly desire and live that pattern over and over again? That's who you are. Now, the question is, everybody says, oh, well, Roger, there's a difference between you're talking about it and my experiencing it. Good gosh. You got to experience this stuff. You can't just talk about it intellectually. I had a gal I was talking to here last week. And I'd been talking with her for a long time. But anyway, she said, I don't want to talk about this theory stuff. I want to talk about, what should I do right now? And that's what everybody is. I don't want to talk about this theory stuff. Well, the theory, if I tell you who you are, like past lives, if I tell you who you are, the next thing you say, well, what do I do now? You don't have any understanding then that goes with the who you are, if you don't have any understanding with that, gee, you'll bitch it all up again. That's how we got to this problem in the first place. We okay with this, Andrew?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
You okay so far?
Yeah.
And I think everybody that's listening in knows or understands the difference between my giving you a reading and telling you about your past lives and my doing a regression in which you're living your past lives. Which gives you more information? Experiencing your past lives or my doing a reading? Or Andrew doing a reading, or Patrick doing a reading.
Well, I'm going to vote for the reading only because you get perspective that you can't gain from the being in the experience.
So, what you're saying is that if I regress you into a past life, you're still the same guy you were then. And you
don't... Well, right, and the experience is definitely more visceral, there's more emotional value, there's a lot of realizations that come with that. However, those are still somewhat limited within a certain, experience. They're limited within that experience.
That's right.
They don't, the way to step out of it and look back or larger and say, oh, that's how I got to here. You're just there.
Okay, so then... There, even in re-experiencing it in that regard, while you're doing it, you don't really understand. You can't, because I put you back into that experience, and you're experiencing it to a certain degree. You have today's awareness that goes with it, but if I have really regressed you, you don't have today's awareness to go with that. You have only that day's awareness, those times' awareness. So, like you say, the experience might be visceral, it might be in your bones, but it really, really, really doesn't give you the understanding maybe, that we would say you want. Reasonable?
Yeah, right. That's true.
That would mean then that this is where the word suscitation comes from, which it actually precedes resuscitation, which means to bring alive again. So if we do a regression, you would say, gee, that's resuscitation because you're bringing that past life alive again. Well, that's true, but yet it's not. Because you don't know it as being alive again. You know it in that as only bringing it alive for the first time. You understand that?
As far as I'm concerned, it is, yeah. I have no greater awareness outside of...
Outside of that. So it's suscitation, which is the root word of resuscitation. So that's where suscitation comes from. So what the hell is all this about? Well, if you had a past before you were born, if you had a past before the series of past lives, what if you're living that past even today? Whether you realize it or not, you're still living that past. You're living every past life that I have given to you in a past reading. You're living that today in one way or another, a different form, but it's still the essence or the pattern or the weave of those lives, exactly what you're doing today. The underlying pattern.
Right?
Then maybe along with that, there is also a pattern that is even more eternal than that. We okay? Well, I'm glad Mia's here because she shook her head.
Shook her head no or shook her head yes?
Shook her
I'm
head.
Not sure what you mean by this.
By what?
I shook my head yes.
I asked you, do you understand
that? I'm not sure what you mean by a pattern more eternal than that.
Oh.
I'm not with you on what that means.
Why? If I give you a past life just before this lifetime, and I say you're living that pattern in your life today, then if I give you three more that go back to 100 BC, that's further back, you're still living those old lives. They're still fresh in your living pattern today.
Right.
But.
Understand that. You said there's a more eternal pattern than even that.
That's right. And that was, we've said before, if you're an eternal being, eternal into the future, you're eternal into the past too. So there is an aspect of you that is more eternal than that. And if you're still living that today, then maybe you're losing out on the greatest part of yourself by only living yourself in life today.
Mm-hmm.
We okay with this? If I say you're a personal being and you're also an eternal being, and if you've taken your eternal being away, have you lost half of yourself?
Sure.
No. Have you lost half of... Huh?
What's the question again?
If you are a personal being and an eternal being, and I take away or you throw away your eternal being self, have you thrown away half of yourself?
Said no to that, so I assume no.
Okay. The answer is you are both an eternal being and a personal being, and the interrelationship between the two. If you throw away your eternal self, you've thrown away half of yourself, in that regard, and then thrown away all of the interrelationships you can have between personal self and eternal self. You've thrown away the major portion of yourself.
Got you.
You okay with that, Patrick?
I am.
So, bringing this story up, in that we're talking about the past, is reestablishing the major portion of yourself. But you see, what happens is you get so lost in today's paying the rent, it's raining, or the car doesn't work, or the garden needs fixing, or you got to pay your taxes. You get involved, so involved in that, that you never realize that by focusing only on that, your personal life, you have actually thrown away the greater part of yourself. You're so completely involved in your personal self that you think, Jesus, I can't take any more. But maybe you would find that most of your struggles in life is because you've lost the awareness of your eternal self. And bring that back into yourself, then your capacity would expand tremendously. Reasonable?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we agree.
Okay. So I tell you about this, and you say, yes, so what? Well, yeah, so what? I guess you can live your personal self and have a sense of, no matter what it is, life must be greater than this, never know that, and then you die. Wasn't that happy? Then if you're lucky, you get to start all over again and do it again. And if you're really, really, really lucky, then I'll do a past life reading on you and talk about this life today, sometime off into the future sometime, maybe. And I might ask you, well, how did you like that? You say, well, not too good. I say, well, why are you doing the same damn thing?
Yeah, I ask myself, is this the life I want to hear about in my future lives?
Right.
Now you're beginning to understand, because living the past means you are willing to do everything in your life today, only those things that you want in your past tomorrow. What you're doing now is crap that says, well, it won't make any difference tomorrow. Or, I can get over that, I can fix that, I can heal that, I can resolve that, I can put up with that, I'll deal with it for a while, then it'll go away. No, it won't go away. So why don't you start right now saying, I'll only do those things today which I'm willing to have as my past, that's called living the past, that I am willing to have as my past, which is really my present doing in tomorrow. Eh? Hate your wife today and you'll hate your wife tomorrow. And that'll be in the past. You say, well, it's in the past. No, you're still doing it. So then the question is, if we follow all of this, and what I do is follow back on the, this is self-evidently what the universe is doing, and this is self-evidently what we're doing in the universe, so then why not take it upon ourselves to then create the past I truly desire? We okay with that?
Yeah.
Would you rather have, if this was your choice, would you rather have a regression into a past life, and then we talk about it, maybe, or would you rather talk about it and then have the regression? Hello, anybody?
I guess I'd rather have the regression first.
Okay, now listen very carefully.
Without the regression, I have no idea, in a sense, what we're talking about.
That's not entirely true, but let's see what happens here. If you have the regression first, then the only thing you experience in that life is as you were then. You can't pursue anything in that life other than or greater than who and what you was then.
That's right. I'm just assuming this is a process.
So, if I talk to you about the life and get you to maybe to understand that now when we regress you into that life, you can take with you an awareness that is greater than dumb shit you in 1547.
But when you regress and then you bring that experience into the present, can't you incorporate it?
How?
By your understanding in this life.
No, you don't understand that life. Because you only understood or took from that life the essence of yourself at that time.
You can't incorporate it?
How do you mean incorporate it?
If you regressed me and I experienced a past life,
okay.
When I wake up or whatever, would I remember it? Would I remember the regression?
Sure.
So can't I take those experiences and incorporate that into my hopefully greater wisdom that I have in this life?
In what way and how do you do that? Let's assume you can do that, but how do you do that? What have you learned in the past in that regression that gives you any wisdom today?
Well, I can't tell you for sure until you regress me.
She's bugging my ass. But under these conditions, you're only experiencing that past life essentially as you were then.
But then if I take that experience and bring it into this life, and maybe I've had some of the same experiences in this life, and I've learned some things in this life, then I can take that and create something greater, create a greater understanding.
Let me ask you this question. Do you think that if you are regressed into a past life, that the major nature of that past life is going to be anything other than conflict?
There's more than conflict.
What?
There's happiness and joy and...
So
what?
So there's joy. All right. You had happiness and joy when you were married and had 7 kids in the 1547. Now, what are you going to do with that?
Well, I can say that I experienced it, and I don't have to experience it here.
So what does that matter? What does that give you any information or teach you anything?
That happiness and joy can come from many experiences.
But you already know that! The question is, if you already know that, which you do, how is that going to help you? Anybody is welcome to jump right in. Sally, give us a minister's point of view.
I can't
hear you.
I'll tell you one thing.
Okay.
I don't have children in this life, and I really wanted children.
Yeah.
But the knowledge that I could have had a past life where I had children and I was happy and I had an experience like that makes me not yearn for that so much now.
No, it won't.
Yeah, it does.
It won't change a thing.
It helps.
It won't change a thing.
It already helped me.
Wow. It could. You know, I see a lot of people go through these things and then run off thinking like, to be happy, I gotta have children.
Well, So it helps me to know that I experienced it in a past life, so I don't have to experience it in this life.
That didn't help you think.
It did. It helped me.
All in your mind. Is that what you're saying?
You asking me?
No, I'm asking Mia. I mean, anything you want, then, mm-hmm. as long as you just kind of experience it in your mind, then you really don't need to worry about it in this life. Is that kind of what?
Well,
what you're finding?
I thought I really wanted to experience it in this life. But knowing that I had past lives, I just recently learned about this, that knowing that I experienced it in a past life makes me not want it so badly in this life. Does that make sense?
I don't care about that, but let me ask you then this question.
Uh-huh.
What do you want as badly?
I can focus on other things that I want.
No, don't tell me what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Give me the answer. Then what is it that you do want or would want that was as desirable as, say, having children was, which ain't now?
I don't want to say.
You don't want to say?
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. Psychotherapist, and she doesn't want to be known. She doesn't want to. She don't want to expose herself. May I ask you why you don't want to say? I mean, I can ask you that. Why don't you want to say?
I don't think I'll be able to express it very clearly.
Fumble around as hard as you can.
Is he always like this?
This is just your initiation.
No, it's not really.
Yeah, I was going to say, is he always like this?
I'm required to go through this if you're going to hang around for a while.
All right.
The rite of passage.
I want her to take a good story home to Madeline.
I have this thing inside me that I... Okay, I'll fumble.
That's fine.
I want to help create a bigger universe. That sounds really vague.
No, I'm
vague.
Okay with that.
I want to help create a bigger universe. I want to expand, I want to expand people's consciousness, expand people's limited thinking. I want that more than, that's what I want.
So, you would rather deal with people than dirty diapers?
Yeah.
Because if you deal only with children, you narrow yourself down. I know. I raised three of myself without my wife was in lockup. Okay? So, it's almost that you take 20 years out of your frigging life to raise three children.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's starting to make sense then that you would rather treat everybody you deal personally with as a child to help raise their consciousness rather than limit yourself to your own.
That's what I've done so far in my life.
Okay. Why did you not want to say that?
I guess I don't think of it. I mean, it's been limited to just a few people.
Okay, but that's a start.
Mm-hmm.
Now what?
Mm-hmm.
What if you see that in one way or another you had done that in the past and that's why you know it today or know of it or have that desire today because you had done that in the past but you don't know how to do that today. And maybe if I regress you even into that lifetime, you wouldn't realize what the hell you were doing.
You mean when I was raising children?
Yeah.
Or when you say that?
Let's assume that's the case. When you were raising children or in a lifetime where you decided not to raise children, you wouldn't know that maybe necessarily that that's what you were doing. In other words, what I want is, we've talked about this now, and you say that. What I want you to do is get off focus from raising children or not raising children and get on focus to...
I've already done that.
Up to now.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean more so.
Okay. What I was giving that example of the raising children, of how the regression could help me. That was, but I'm okay with not having kids in this life.
Right, but now let's look at this, because I'm answering all these questions, you guys, because I'm trying to get you to understand what I'm doing. Now, supposing we talked about this for a couple of hours today, and maybe you did other things, and I told you more things, and etc. And then I, let's say, regress or show you how to actually experience you and your eternal self working together doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be...
Helpful.
Helpful.
Yes.
But that was information first. And then with that information, when we regress or go back into a past life, you have the focus.
I see.
You see what I'm talking about?
I see. I get it.
Because in every regression you do, I always ask the person I'm doing aggression for is, do you have a question that you want to know? Mm-hmm. So we have a focus. Mm-hmm. And we follow that focus through the past lives. Mm-hmm. If you don't have that focus or understand, or the clearer that focus and understanding is, the clearer you can go directly to this life, mm-hmm. or that life,
right.
or past beyond past life, and experience that directly. Okay so far?
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Then the question is, when you have that information, she says, well, wouldn't that help me today? Yeah, how?
To not repeat the same mistakes.
We're not interested in how to not negative yourself. How does it help you? Because the point of all of this is, you still bring that into your, quote, language life today, with your beliefs today, and unless you alter those beliefs or the context of those beliefs, you got to bring your beliefs today in the context of that particular life, or you'll make the same mistakes all over again.
Right.
Are we okay? You understand this, Patrick?
Yeah, I'm following quite closely.
So, the more in your master's story, then it gives you a focus or an understanding of, say, doing a regression, if I were then to do a regression with you, would it not?
Yes.
And so you would then have a focus of the regression that you could, say, go directly to go or pass go and collect your $200, collect your understandings. I don't think... What?
You're saying, do you use what, let's say, for instance, my master's story, use that as a place, or a place, can I use that word for a moment, to regress to with a specific question.
Okay. What if you use that as a focus to regress to, just to experience that? Okay, all right, I got it, man, I've written it out, I've got this intellectually, it's in my mind, I want it in my bones.
Yeah, in my bones, I like that, yeah.
That's Mia's talk from this morning. I kind of like that one. I don't like this heart shit stuff. We okay there? So what suscitation is that when you have that knowing or understanding of yourself, suscitation, and we can talk about that if you want, is a way and a manner in which you can go experience that master's and get it in your bones.
And what was the last word? Get what?
Get it in your bones.
Get it in my bones, okay.
Are we okay?
Okay.
In other words, you go into the relationship or into the regression, or you go into the event or the parable, however you want to call it in this regard, with foreknowledge. And you take the foreknowledge with you.
Foreknowledge being the query?
No, it can be your already awareness of masters to start with.
Okay, so that foreknowledge, and then the focus is that could be some question or what?
Well, yeah, but the focus of, say, a question and all, it just sort of acts like an arrow pointing the direction. For instance, here's an example. Mia, we were talking about something today. And then we got to talking about Madeline. And I said, tell Madeline that she is in her life today at a certain place. We okay with that? In other words, I told her just enough about a past life reading. And the reading that I told her then was that part of the reading that symbolizes her life today. If Madeline remembers that story, and I suspect she does, and I say, in that story, this is where you are, and she knows the outcome of that story, she can pretty well look at the outcome of her life today unless she changes, gets out of that pattern. You with me there? Andrew?
Of course, yeah. She's following that pattern. If we know where she was and we know where she is today, we'll know where she's going to be tomorrow if she continues following that pattern.
Okay. Now, do you understand what I've just said, essentially?
I think so.
Okay. Mia's next words were, "You remember her reading?" That was from 2002, 2001, something like that.
2001, yeah.
Okay, now listen very carefully. Did I or do I remember Madeline's reading? Or is it stored around me and I'm able to tune in on it?
Number two, we think.
Yeah.
Just like a cell phone. It's everywhere. It's in the air. And you turn the cell phone on. The cell phone or the iPod doesn't necessarily have it stored within that little goddamn thing in your hand. But that little goddamn thing in your hand gives you access to what's in the air. It's all around. So part of what we're talking about here is then going beyond memories, what you have stored in yourself, to access what is all around you. You let the universe be the storehouse for you. But as we talked about that in terms of the a holographic universe, you have to have the encode key and the decode key.
Yeah, because I would say that most people have stored in the universe around them just the memories of this life.
That's right, and that's the point. And what you're doing when you do a reading, you are using your decode key of that person that you're doing a reading for to go beyond memories. Because that person only, well, shit, I only remember. The other stuff is somebody, something, well, you had a sense of that, or somebody told me, or I had a reading in Sedona, Arizona, and this little old lady told me this, that, and the other thing. You're not remembering that, and you have no memory of that little old lady's doing something. Now, I'm asking, are you willing to then, like the holographic universe, store these things in the air all around you, and then be able to, like, push a button on your cell phone, answer the call, or know how to tune in so that you don't have to clutter your brain with all this memory shit. You only put into your memories those things that you need quick and easy recall. You okay with that, Patrick?
Uh-huh.
So when we talk about a focus, wait a minute. That focus of masters then is part of the decode key. And you're able to then draw upon that and gain access to that simply because you've begun creating the decode key for yourself.
Okay, Roger. I think I kind of, if I get what this suscitation thing is, I think that...
No, I haven't gotten around to yet what it is, but understand this part.
Right, I got what you're saying.
Okay, now go ahead and say what you want to say.
Well, it's just what I'm realizing is from what you've laid out about, you know, the little old lady in Sedona or whatever, but the point is, I mean, we've gotten this information even from regressions, but I think maybe what's been... You know, to get us to really take action on it, what's probably been, for me, missing is that, sense of that perceptibility of it in my life today.
Okay, but that's...
I think what you've been getting at with the stories of, you know, and is finally, you know, fleshing that out so that it is present in our life. It is actually you can sense it in some way.
Okay, but I want you to go... say for a moment, a little less than that. What I've wanted you to do is to start creating the story, because it's the story itself that provides you with the focus such that you're then able to then relive and experience that relationship between you and eternal self clearly and succinctly again.
Okay, that's true, but let me ask you one question then. What is the difference between, okay, so I have written the story, now it's fleshed out, I can step in the shoes, I can sense it, see it, walk and talk around inside of it, the whole thing. How is that any different from a regression, in that the regression basically served the same experience to me?
No.
Okay.
That's not entirely true. Your relationship between you and Anno is something that is, let's call it for the moment, fully self-dependent.
Okay, why did you put that in there?
Because you know that you are creating both sides of the story.
Oh, okay, right.
Okay.
Past life is discovering something that was already there.
Yeah, but if I then regress you into that experience with Anno, then you are fully present as Andrew, exchanging with Anno, fully present there at the same time.
That's true.
It's kind of like a lucid dream. In a lucid dream, you are in the dream aware that you are dreaming. In suscitation, it's an experience, not so much that you are there aware that you are dreaming or suscitating, you are fully engaged.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, that is interesting.
And you're fully engaged, let's say, between you and Anno, but as Patrick is doing, with all of these other people that are involved in his story as well. It's not as if you're sitting there making Anno talk. You say, he talks. You listen, you say. He listens, you say.
Is Anno his eternal
you
self?
You what?
Is Anno his eternal self?
Yeah. You okay?
Yeah.
You see how quick, easy it is to name that and then talk about it and everybody knows. But if you don't name it, then it becomes a tangled language thing. She asked me if Anno was your eternal self. Because we'd talked about that this afternoon.
Okie doke.
So, now, what is suscitation? Well, you know what meditation is?
I've done it. Yes.
Okay, but primarily, and there's 30 dozen different meditation practices, etc. But let's give sort of a my opinion generality of meditation. Get rid of yourself. Commit suicide. Get the hell out of your own way. Get into consciousness. Get out of form. Get out of illusion. Get out of delusions. Kill yourself off. Don't stand there as a person and feel the rain. Become the rain. Get rid of yourself. Now, if you don't like that, that primarily is the basis of meditation. As I've said before, in many cases, meditation started in or before Hinduism as a way or a process that was taught only to older people to prepare them for death. That's the foundation of meditation in Hinduism. It's a preparation for death. And we're still doing it. And then we think, well, we come out of that, we gain all this understanding. I've talked to an awful lot of meditators, and I've done involved with a lot of that sort of stuff. So they say, no. You go into meditation, and you gain all this understanding. And my question is, how do you bring it back and how do you put it into your life? You screw it all up, because how you live it in your life today is even if you understand, if you have the understanding, you don't know what it is. So how do you live it? And if it calms you and peaces you, because for that period of time you've gotten out of your struggles and etc., well, fine. Hey, that we can hook you up to EKG and prove that, man, you're more peaceful today than you were 5 minutes ago. Meditation has served its purpose. Well, yeah, so does suicide. Now, if anybody can tell me in any way and demonstrate that meditation is essentially anything other than that, reach a state of godness. God is everything, you are nothing. Reach a state of cosmic consciousness. What the hell is that? Was that laughing and giggling from Sally?
Nope.
Okay. This is my take on meditation. If you don't like it, I don't care. Now listen to what suscitation is. Suscitation is much the same process, except instead of calming yourself and suiciding yourself, as I like to say in meditation, you excite and experience yourself so beyond yourself as an eternal being that you reach a state of being content about all the crap in your life. Okay so far?
No, I need you to say all of that again. I thought it was going to sound something way different than that.
Oh, well, tell me what you thought it was going to be. I want to hear about this.
Well, so meditation is a process of certain things. And what did you just say suscitation was?
Suscitation, while meditation is getting rid of all your struggles and problems and etc., suscitation is getting to a point of, allow me this word, seeing, knowing, and understanding those events from an eternal aspect such that then you reach a condition of being content. Because you understand what those things are. You can bring back your understanding from suscitation and apply that in your life today. I don't know of anybody who has ever, I've asked the question of a lot of people, who can tell me what they bring back from meditation and how they apply it in their life today. And anybody who is sitting out there saying, Roger, you're so full of shit, that's okay. I'm telling you, this is my take on it in dealing with meditators and doing meditation. Would you understand in your life today that your pains, problems, struggles, disappointments, or discouragements, or whatever it is because you don't understand it? Who the hell are you? What's life all about? What's your life all about? And if you don't understand any of that, then the pains, problems, and difficulties, and relationships, and etc., are all either, well, desirable or undesirable. What the hell else is there?
In meditation, you just experience it as it is.
But you experience it as it is. What is that experience? Thank you, Sal, or Helena, whoever laughed.
Not good or bad at that point.
It's true. It cracks me up when someone talks to me, and it's just no thought. And I thought, well, how do you know it's no thought? Because you had to think that there was no thought.
I know. This is the whole game of meditation. In fact, there's one other... I don't want to go into that. Meditation was changed, and then Buddhism stole it from Hinduism, and then Buddhists themselves change meditation in a serious way. But all I'm saying is, now I'm just trying to contrast here in my words in this regard. What suscitation does, it allows you to fully experience yourself as an eternal being. You get out of your damn personal shoes, your personal problems, and experience yourself together with yourself from an eternal context. Remember the old saying, look at it, what you're doing and what you're complaining about. Is it going to make any difference 100 years from now? No, it isn't, so why do it? Well, wait a minute. If I can get you to actually experience yourself as an eternal being, step into those shoes and be that in that way, you're able to look back at yourself as a personal being and say, you know, relative to the eternal self or life of yourself, now do you understand what you think is a struggle is all about? You're struggling in your life because you don't know who you are, you don't know what you're doing, you don't know what your life is all about, you don't know what life in the universe is all about, you don't know a goddamn thing. So, it's trial and error. What if experiencing yourself as an eternal being takes trial and error out of your life? Wait a minute. I think we started this with saying, if that's who you are, that eternal being, and then if you live as that eternal being because you've experienced that that's who you are, damn, we just took becausing out of your life, becoming out of your life, cause and effect out of your life, and trials and struggles in unknownness out of your life. And if I took all of those things out of your life, all these things in that nature, simply by your being able to be who you are, damn, I've taken discontent out of your life. You can be content. Not peaceful, not compassionate, not joyful, not happy.
What about loving?
What?
What about loving?
Without loving, because none of those things mean anything. The only thing that means anything to you, whether you realize it or not, is being content. You could be joyful and happy, but boy, you know you're going to pay for this tomorrow. Or you're joyful and happy because the adrenaline is flowing. Hot damn, keep the adrenaline flowing. But you're going to crash. You're going to have an adrenaline crash. What if, God damn it, you never had that as a body reaction, joy and happiness, but had true sense of contentment in your life? The joy and happiness of being content. Wait a minute, if you could be content and maintain that contentment simply because you understand your eternal self, then you can go out and do anything for an adrenaline high you want and not pay the penalty. And not get lost, addicted. Oh, I gotta have some more of those good feelings. Am I making any sense, Andrew? That's what suscitation is all about. It looks like meditation. It sort of does like meditation, but you ain't doing meditation. You are experiencing in full glorious color and full glorious emotions and feelings yourself as an eternal being. And being that, or you are interrelating with yourself as a separate individual, as an eternal being. You have that interrelationship going on, or you have it in being able to change positions in your life and see yourself in life from a different context. The thing that I was trying to get on with, I can go tell you about what I went through, so effing what? Unless you really, really, and this is why by the way, for the rest of you, Andrew said, well, that's what I want to hear this Saturday, this Monday. So, okay, that's what we're doing. That's what suscitation is all about. And so a great degree of understanding needs to precede that, so you could take that understanding into the process of suscitation and have that focus or that way of leading yourself directly to the eternal awareness that you desire. Hello, anybody?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Roger. Okay. So, right. So, what I guess I just wanted to make sure is that we have that basic framework to put all this stuff up against. Well, I don't know if you think we need that or not yet, but it helps me to know that where we are on this thing. Well, now I understand what you were trying to do the last couple of weeks a little better, because I don't know. I guess I know where we're going. I don't know if I.
Okay, where we left off. Here was the next sentence. Odd as it may seem, you alone can make your life real as you truly desire, or continue living everything in doubt and uncertainty. What suscitation does is allow you, it gives you a greater context and an understanding as to how you can actually make your life real as you truly desire. Rather than doing all this stuff and then say, what the fuck was that all about? That's your choice. Because if you keep living without this, keep living yourself without this awareness, I guarantee you, you're either going to die and miss out, or somewhere along the line, you're going to say, what the hell is this all about? And you won't have an answer. That's a threat. No, that's a promise.
Yeah.
So if you want to avoid that moment so that you can say, I know what it's about. I've known what it's about from the get-go, or from whenever I started doing this crap that Roger said I should do. Okay, well, ever since then, I've begun to know what my life is all about. It all makes sense. Language.
So, Roger, meditate, back to the idea of meditate, suscitate. As you were comparing them, meditate is also something you go do to cause something to occur. And suscitate is not something that you would do to cause something to occur. Isn't it a way of just how you're...
All you're doing in that is re-experiencing yourself as you are.
Okay.
So there's no causing in that.
Right. But there's no specific something in order to suscitate. Like meditation is a do this, do that, sit this way, breathe this way. Suscitate is a different concept in that way as well.
You have a habit. I've given you ways to follow for a long time. Do you want me to give you a gazillion different ways and manners, etc., that I've talked about that everybody says, what the fuck is all that about? Would you like to understand that, Sally? Do you understand your dreams? Dreams, the experience as a dream, is essentially a suscitation every night.
Okay, that's what I mean. It's different than meditation.
That's right. It's a fully engaged, involved experience.
Yes.
Okay, then I've said...
That's what I'm saying. That's the difference. That's the major difference.
Of course, that's what I'm saying. They have your mind thinking, still your mind. Don't do that. Oh, no, this monkey mind stuff going on. No. Maybe the monkey mind, which it is, by the way, is you trying to get your attention.
Yeah.
And I want you as actively involved in resuscitation as you would be, say, gee, I want to get actively involved like lucid dreaming in my dreams. But you don't do that. That's good practice. Okay. Number two.
Okay.
Take everything I say and create an image. Don't listen with your ears. Listen with your eyes.
Yeah.
Got it?
Yep. Roger?
Yes, Helena?
Now, when you say image, what you've used before was actually, you seem to be seeing a pattern of which you could overlay.
No, not necessarily. No. That was just discussing Marin's little dream there, or statement there, and that we didn't have much to work with. But whenever I talk to you, Helena, you must translate everything I say into an image that you can see. If you don't do that, you don't know when you don't know what the hell I'm saying.
Okay.
But I started out with Mia this morning, and she started talking about the divine. What the hell do you mean by that? And consciousness. Well, what the hell do you mean by that? I don't know what she means by using these words. I can't picture that. You understand? So, I'm translating everything you say into an image, like painting by numbers. And when I don't know, what's 37? You got to tell me what I'm supposed to paint here, you see. Well, use a divine color. What the fuck are you talking about? You with me?
Right.
So, every time you speak to me, if I convert it to an image, if I have a gap in my picture, there's something there you said, I don't understand what you're talking about. Got it?
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm listening to you in my ears, what we do is we say, she'll explain it to me later. No, you won't. But that's what we do. That's the nature of our language. We think, well, she'll get to the point. I'll understand it later. No, if you don't understand it all along the way, you won't understand a damn thing later. And the point of it is, you don't even realize when I ask you to define or tell me or describe what some of these words mean. You're using words and throwing them out there. You don't even know what you're talking about.
Well, I have an image in my head, but that's
then
not
tell
the,
me your image. Describe right. your image right. to me. See,
okay.
Now we're communicating.
Mm-hmm.
You describe your image so I can see your image. We know what we're talking about.
Right.
The lion is in the jungle tonight. You got an image of that?
Mm-hmm.
That's the way language started.
Mm-hmm.
Until we got into words like consciousness, awareness.
Mm-hmm.
What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Every second word out of your mouth is a pronoun. You know what a pronoun is?
I, you, he,
no,
she.
A pronoun is a substitute for a word. But you have to not use a pronoun like I, he, she, they, them, and those, unless you told me
what that stands
what
for.
Is first. When you use the word consciousness, you haven't told me. Consciousness is a pronoun because you haven't told me what it is, and you can't use that word.
Okay.
Got it?
Right.
You got it on the phone over there? I've said this 30 dozen times. So what we're doing is to say, like dreams communicate through images, not through words so much. You cloud the images of your dreams with a bunch of crappy words and don't know what you're saying. In resuscitation, it is learning the language of your eternal self. Wait a minute. All we're doing when we say understanding the language of our dreams, we are learning the language of our eternal self, who is talking to us in pictures. Or we are talking to ourselves through the eternal self in pictures. Okay? Understand, Andrew?
Yes.
I should ask Helena, do you understand that?
Yes.
After all our dream classes? After all our arguments? And the point of it is, you tell me a dream, that gives me a picture. And I have that picture and that image, which is an image of what you're doing. And I say, this is you're doing this. And you say, no, I'm not. Wait a minute. If you ain't doing that, then why did you give me that picture image of yourself doing that? And the reason you do that is because we'll word ourselves one way through life. In fact, would you not like to have a picture of what it is you're really doing in your life? That's what your dreams are telling you. So, the question is, then, can we have an actual picturized, filled out, formed experience of you and your eternal self? To then get out of that a full pictured experience of that relationship. Hello, anybody?
Good question.
Did you say question?
I said that's a good question.
Oh, okay. I thought you said question like you got one.
Say that question again, Roger, please.
I forgot what I said.
Oh, go ahead. It's a good question, though, according to Andrew. Andrew, what is this question?
The question is, if you're only living by words, you're screwed.
Yeah.
And here is another thing. If you're living by words, they only make sense if they follow the underlying pattern that demands be followed by your language. Okay?
Yeah.
If you're living by images, as in dreams, golly whiz, I can have an image today, right now, this moment, and a flashback, or I can mix it up, I can mix the images up any way I want to give you a greater understanding of yourself. I can't do that with words because it has to follow the underlying pattern of language. English, we have subject, verb,
object, direct object.
But Korean does it differently. Yeah. So I'm not. It doesn't matter what language you're using. There is an underlying pattern of subject, verb, object in that regard. So it doesn't make any difference. But who in the hell ever said, "Well, I want you guys to go down there and create a language, and then I will accommodate to your language." I don't think the universe has ever done that. Just because we set up a language that follows a pattern doesn't mean that that means anything to the universe. It doesn't mean anything to what you're living. Understand? Mm-hmm. Sort of.
Yeah.
You have the freedom in images to mix them up. Well, there I was in my house in Virginia. And the next thing, I was in my homestead in Alaska. Oh, then I was back in my house in Maryland. Wait a minute. I can do all of that, and it makes perfect sense following the pattern of the images, but doesn't make sense in the language structure. Got it?
Right.
So whenever you're languaging in that regard, then you're losing most of the information.
Because you filter everything out.
Huh?
You feel it's like creating your past, where you pick bits and pieces and create a story out of it.
But that's what you're doing every day. So why not pick the bits and pieces you want, like you do in your dreams, and create the story you want? The dreams are doing exactly the same thing. It puts it, it takes pieces from through time anywhere it wants to, puts them together, and it makes perfect sense. So, those are two of the major skills to learn or to follow, because they help you to always then be in communication between you and your eternal self. Forget your dreams, it doesn't make any sense, then you have forgotten that communication. don't create pictures. Listen with your listen with your eyes, not your ears, in that regard, and you've lost the communication.
Do you suscitate?
What?
Do you suscitate?
Do I?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, there are a gazillion different ways to suscitate.
Mm-hmm.
First big challenge I had was a fellow who said, do you meditate?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no, I don't meditate, although I was at that time, but I believe in the meditation of work. Can you suscitate while working?
Yes.
Of course, because you're keeping yourself active and etc. Even while you're doing whatever it is, you can experience yourself as an eternal being doing whatever you're doing. So you're in a state of suscitation of actually experiencing your eternal self. It's kind of like, it's kind of like astral travel in that you're you, but you're also experiencing yourself as an eternal being doing it. Then that's like suscitating, putting the two together again, suscitating this relationship going on. So that then when something happens, whatever it is, you don't necessarily curse it from a personal point of view, but you can understand what it means from an eternal perspective. You okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then you fall out of trees. I screwed up both of my shoulders from falling. One time it was through falling out of a tree.
Because you were resuscitating?
Well, I was reaching too far. But that's another story. Are you there? Okay with that, Sally and Helena?
Yeah.
I think it would be helpful if you told us your story of how you, your resuscitation story. At this point,
I'm not going to tell you that, because if you want to hear it, this is one third of what I want to read. All of this.
Oh wow! Okay.
It's a long story.
Okay.
And here's the reason why I wanted to do this. I may say, okay, if I'm going to read it to you, I'll start back here, and start at this point. This is out of the book. Is introduction to what some of this is going on. Okay. But I said I wanted to read you not just the suscitation, but the whole story, or the essential drama of what was going on in my life. Because if you don't have the context of my life, it's difficult to relate to the experience itself, and how the experience of suscitation fully was portrayed in my everyday life. You don't necessarily understand that, but I'll give you a clue. Oh, I don't know what's in here or not. Coleridge. Did you ever read the poet Coleridge?
Mm-hmm.
You know his story? His poems? Well, there was a poem, and it's in the thing, but I think it's in the second part of this. And what if you had a dream? I don't know the poem, so I'll just tell it. You had a dream, and in the dream, you had a rose. And after you returned out of the dream and woke up, you had a rose. Wouldn't that get you to wondering? You dream rose, you have rose. Is there that close of a relationship between the experience of suscitation with your eternal self and your physical self? The answer is yes. Because something like that experience occurred to me in suscitation. Now, to really understand that, you got to say, well, what was going on in your life when you were doing this? And then all of a sudden, wait a minute, all of this stuff in suscitation started coming true in your life. What if that started happening? Patrick, what if everything in your master's story started coming completely true in your life tomorrow?
That'd be kind of cool.
So, you have to then hear the story from the life I was living at that time and what I was doing, and then how it all played out so that two of those things came together sort of as a one. And then you, because in your dreams it doesn't do that so much, it can, but it doesn't normally do that. You know, a dream is a dream is a dream when it is. But in suscitation, it gets to the part to where it portrays itself in your life today kind of like the two become one. Okay with that?
Yep.
So when I ask you then what might it be like, I guess the question is, would you like that to happen? And you got to remember, as an architect, I'm a visual person in everything. So I had lots of practice. And so just because this was my experience, this was, and I'm only going to tell you the beginning of the experience. The experience goes on and on in a lot of ways. And I'll only tell you part of it in this regard. But how that... the things started occurring in my life that actually portrayed everything that was occurring in the suscitation story. So the question is, if you don't want any of that shit in your life, I don't blame you. Hell, stick with it. Piss and moan about your problems, difficulties, and illnesses. That sounds like a good thing to do to keep you busy till you die. All right, in that case, I will take 25 pages. It'll be up on the web. We won't talk about them. And next week, then, I won't even talk about the introduction, like the first part of a book. I won't talk about that. I'll jump right into the story, and I'll tell you the story.
Wait, what are these 25 pages?
The stuff I've been trying to get across that you said, gee, I would rather hear the suscitation first.
Okay.
This is stuff that I was, I said before, oh, hell, I'll go into the story and put this stuff up on the web, and if you read it, you read it. If you don't read it, well, hell, I don't care.
Well, I didn't say I didn't want to hear the other stuff. I just wanted to understand. It seemed like we had left some unfinished business. It was, I don't know, for me it was a gap.
Okay, well, I hope I've filled in your gapotis.
I'd be curious what everybody else think, because I thought, yeah, then that works for me nicely. What about anybody else?
I think it works for me, too. What, you this will be posted this week, Roger?
Oh, no. Miss M's been working so damn hard with...
What, the first part of your story is already up there. Didn't I already put it up?
The story, stuff. Yeah, but you don't have
the other stuff.
These... in other words...
You type 25 pages?
What?
It's a lot. It's thick.
What, and for me to edit it three times or so, she has to do it and then over again and do it over again. No. Well, that's all right. There's lots of other stuff you don't have up there. So just pretend it doesn't matter. I'll tell you the story, and we can talk about that, and we can do whatever we can. Good luck in living it in your life. But
it doesn't have to be once and for all.
Don't be salty about this. We were just trying. We were getting lost in the detail. I think, yeah. Pat had a good analogy with going through all the you know, the structures of the building. We know what the building looks like. That's all we're asking for.
Yeah.
Andrew.
Yeah.
Andrew.
Hey.
I'm telling you that after I get through reading this story, and even after you finish your story or do whatever you're doing with Anno, you're going to say, now what do I do? Because the minute you get through with that information, trust me, you will still, even with that, want to apply it relative to your cause and effect believings and languaging that you know so well that are destroying you.
Right. So I don't certainly don't think that that's where we want to be left in the end.
Well, that's why I'm writing 64 books. I'm running out of time.
Thank you, Roger.
So next week I will not read the introduction. I will go directly to the story. And the story, you'll know when I do it, because here is the first sign, the thing. The phone suddenly rings, irritating the room. Then insistently rings again and again.
I thought you were going to tell us that what was the context in your life in which all this start, why you started this.
I'm going to tell you the whole story, and that's where it begins.
Okay.
See?
Thank you.
So that's what we'll do next week then.
I think that's great.
Okay.
Okay, then we'll start next week. The telephone rings. That's the beginning of the story.
Like a mystery novel.
What?
Sounds like the beginning of a mystery novel.
It is.
Well, yeah, it's sort of a mystery novel. Okay, well, that's what we'll do. Next week, we'll start right there.